Hello and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff and today I am joined by a very special guest. He's an actor and has appeared in many Beer Nuts Productions films, which probably accounts why Beer Nuts Productions is so unsuccessful. That's a joke. That's just a joke. He is a very fine actor.
We're about 5 seconds in. Right on.
Yeah, I haven't introduced you yet, but shut up. Sorry. So he's a very fine actor who won't be quiet. It's Cale Campus. How are you, Cale?
Oh, well, look, yeah, no, I feel great now. My self-esteem has dropped a rung in the 10, 15 seconds you took to do that intro.
Oh, no, I thought it was a perfectly valid introduction.
Of course you thought it was perfectly valid, and that's all that matters.
So let's start at the beginning, Cale. As I said, you are predominantly an actor. So
borderline at best.
But no. So why choose acting, Cale? What was it about? I mean, you're no good at it, so why choose it?
Hey, what can I fail at next?
It's a joke.
They'll give me words to say. Surely I can't screw that up. But here we are.
No. For those folks who are listening, I've worked with Cale for many, many years, so we do know each other well. So
it's actually a few years now. Yeah. How did we get here?
No. Well, you drove me.
Oh, wow.
That's how we got here.
Can we just start this again? Like, good grief.
No. But yeah, why choose acting, Cale? What was it about acting that sort of drew you in?
I don't know if I actually sort of chose it, then that might come through in some of the performances I've given for you. I grew up in North Queensland, and that's sort of a place to me that is, I found very unstimulating. Just
hello to our friends in North Queensland.
That's why I prefaced it with to me. But probably a lot of people I know share my views. Anyway, so about 5, 6, 7 years ago, I moved down here to Southeast Queensland, and it was purely a case of like, what can I do differently? What's something, because there's more opportunity and activities and whatnot to do in this part of the country as opposed to where I was. So what's something new and different I could do? And I sort of stumbled across. I think it was an ad. I think it was an online ad for a film and television agency. That I think their books were open. And I thought I could, like, people give me stuff to say. I could say it back. Like, I don't have to think about what to say. They'll tell me what to say. I can say, how hard can that be, really? I mean, because you see some of these people doing stuff. I could do that. And that's what it was. I sort of fell into it. I'm not going to be one of those people who's like, oh, I wanted to do this from a young age. It was a call. No, it wasn't a calling. It was something I thought could be a hobby and I thought I'd give it a shot. And it's a case of so far, so good. It's been, maybe about 5 years now. It is so far, so good. I've seen some stuff, man. I've seen some cool stuff. I've seen some stuff that have made me question all my choices often on your sets. but on the whole, it's hard to not be swept up in an industry where you can play make-believe and be silly or access emotions and types of people that you wouldn't ordinarily be and sometimes get paid for it.
Well, that's
kind of cool.
I think actually you've raised a valid point there in that you sort of broke down. I mean, a lot of people take acting extremely seriously.
Oh, yeah.
And I think what you've done is you've sort of just made it really, you've simplified it and be like, oh, okay, well, this character is a jerk, so I just need to be a jerk.
Yeah, right.
You know, you've really broken it down to its most simple form. Is that how you...
I'm not sure it needs to be more than that. I mean, maybe at certain advanced levels, yes, it does need to be more than that. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, I mean, if you're going to play like a hardcore serial killer, then maybe, you know, maybe some intensive research and whatnot. But if it's like a fun comedy role or something like that, or if it's just a light drama or something like that, you that's something that you would say you'd sort of just understand what the character's feeling and you just portray those emotions to the best of your ability.
Where's this guy coming from when he's saying this sort of stuff? If you can identify that, there's the inflection you can put on the words, and hopefully if it comes across realistic, that's all you can ask for.
Well, I mean, you did a voiceover piece for me not so long ago, and you did a really great job. And one of the things was one of the characters you gave a little bit of an accent and a voice to, which I really enjoyed. I thought it was really, really funny.
First time I ever had a suggestion land with you. Every other time I'm like, hey, go. What if we tried this? Like, no, I'm the director. That's the thing you love to remind me of most. I'm the director here. Know your place. Like, yes, sir. But the only about 4 or 5 years in, First suggestion landed. No, but and it landed hard. It landed well.
Well, that was a good suggestion.
And it's on the promo.
Yeah.
That's how well it landed.
Yeah, I know. So people could go to the audio page on the Beer Nuts Productions website. They can. It was the dating hotline, I believe, was that one that Kale's involved with. But my point is, you gave that character, you read the script and you gave him his own voice and his own personality. So maybe you could tell us through, like, when you read that, what made you think of this is the way this dude needs to sound?
Well, what was that? That one was like the nerdy.
Yeah.
I think it was more the Bogan spin I put on him that sort of tickled you, and God knows why. I just sort of put two and two together in a sense of, look, being from North Queensland, there are a lot of people like that up there.
So you were just channeling
I had seen stuff like when you're waiting for a bus. Like, I think I sat next to that guy on multiple occasions. You know, they have that nasally, whiny, living at home. And no judgment, people still living at home. When you get to our age, Goff, because we are of the same age bracket, you can draw along people from people that you've met seen along the way, and you can take bits and pieces like, yeah, that was from a guy definitely I would have known in North Queensland, and some of the other characters, yeah, look, I've known that person and that person, and I just steal. You just steal and see what lands and what works.
You're no good rotten thief, Kale Candace.
It kind of works.
No. You're absolutely correct.
Until it stops working, maybe then I'll find a different avenue. Again, all it comes down to is so far so good.
No, but that's how I see it too when I'm writing a script.
That's more plagiarism though. You can't. That's not.
No. But if you. I do the same when I'm writing a script. If there's a certain person, like if I need a character and I want that character to have a certain personality, I think of somebody that I know who I've met that's like that, and then I sort of channel their voice in my head and write down what that voice would say.
Right on.
So it's the same kind of deal as what you do. Now,
how close have you come to completely replicating somebody you know in a script? Like, if they didn't know any better, they would go, wait a second, that's completely me. Yes, but we need to have a chat.
The problem is people aren't that self-aware. So I'm being serious.
That's a very valid point.
People aren't that self-aware. So I've completely, absolutely, 100% plagiarized somebody's personality, and they've had no idea because people aren't self-aware of their own actions and what
fair.
They're saying.
That's fair.
That's absolutely the case and so true.
That's working for you.
It is absolutely working. And I'm sure we're not the only people who do that. I'd ask the listeners to write in, but I'm not going to do that, to tell us when they've done such things.
Because you won't read it, because you're not interested, because you're the director.
Well, I don't care for other people's
opinions.
There
we go. So, yeah. So now that you've said you don't care about other people, what's the next question, Goff?
Yes. Let me ask you this, Kale.
And then tune out while I'm giving the answer, yes.
Well, of course. It's just white noise when you speak.
There we go.
So you have worked on many Beer Nuts Productions films, so people should go to beernutsproductions.com. They'll see this man in action in quite a few of my films. I keep going back to the well. And
a pity, yes.
It's pretty much dry now, but we keep going back. But I'm only teasing.
Basement and a sub-basement and wait till we hit magma, then it'll be.
But look, my sets are run very differently to another other film sets.
Yes.
Can you maybe take us through some of the differences you've seen between a Beer Nuts set and other sets that you've been on? Because you have done, I mean, I want to make it clear, you've done lots of other work besides my stuff. So what differences have you seen?
Look, nobody has an ear for dialogue more than you do. And I'm reminded of that every line I deliver. For instance, on another set, if I have an inflection on a line and it's not quite landing to its full capacity, I might be able to get away with it by body language to sort of make up to get across the emotion or whatever that I'm trying to get across. But with you, you're dialed into inflections and tones and dialogue pacing and so on and so forth to a point where I can't hide anything from you. If I slightly mumble on a word or not be as eloquent as I could be, and I don't even recognize it, you'll stop the presses. Hold on, that was crap. Let's go. Do it better. I'm going to get that printed on a shirt for you to wear, because that is the number one piece of direction you give me. Do it better. Just do it better. Hey, do it better. Like, yes, Goff.
That's fair.
No, look, I'm not arguing the idea behind the delivery of the
direction. Would you say that's the best piece of direction I've given
you? Do it better.
Yeah.
Is it the best piece of direction? Yeah, look, yeah, probably.
Because it's not the only piece of direction.
No, everything else is more humiliating than that, but Do It Better is probably the nicest one you've given me.
Well, it's fair call.
Well, yeah, look, it is hard to argue when the director says, hey, do it better. Like, oh, yeah, you know what? You're right, yes. But no, look, that is the thing that stands out the most is, yes, your ear for dialogue. Especially, I never really realized how whiny, apparently, I come across.
Yeah, yeah, you do.
Because that... You didn't even hesitate on that. Yeah, you do. You could have easily just said, oh, look, no, but sometimes maybe I'm a bit too out. No, you just came out. No, you do. I never really realized that until, yeah, I would
you just do, did it then. Line. I never really realized.
See, that to me, I didn't think that was whiny. All right.
Well, it's just your natural tone.
I know. Wow. Again, nothing I realized. I made it well into my 30s before I realized. Apparently, I'm whiny all of the time. But until I started doing line readings for you and auditioning for you, be like, hey, can you do it less whiny? Hey, can you do it better? Hey, give me more energy. Whereas other directors and whatnot, I've never had that direction from anybody else
really?
Ever. No,
no, never. I'm being serious. Like no other director said to you more energy or
not from the outset, not from like as soon as I walk in the door, hey, more energy. I was like, well, I just got here. No, at the end of a long series of takes or whatever, sure, yeah, it'd be like, hey, more energy, yeah, right on, yeah, of course. But with you, yeah, I thought not, I haven't been asked to give more energy when I thought I was giving enough energy. I was like, oh, more energy? Oh, damn, okay.
And I hope you've learned a valuable lesson.
Yeah, this is the police. Do you know how fast you were going? It's like, well, dial it back a little bit. Stop whining. I didn't think I was whining. But no, to circle all the way back to your original question.
Yes.
That is the thing that stands out the most, yes, is your ear for dialogue and how it makes me more self-aware of the dialogue and the exposition and the eloquence and other words that are escaping me.
Do you think that's helped you with other auditions? Although, when you go into an audition, you're more conscious of that
absolutely.
Now.
So. I try not to think of you when I'm not around you, but it can't help but sneak into the back of my head of like, oh, Gough pulls me up for that whiny. Be more mindful of that. Gough pulls me up for the energy levels. Be more mindful. Absolutely, it's helped me out. So yes, look, I'd hate to say it, but yes, look, I do owe you.
That's not why I asked. No,
stop it. No,
I was more meaning for like people, actors who are listening. It would a piece of advice maybe be for them that, you know, if they get direction from a guy saying to like a director or casting director saying you need to do A more,
yes.
Then maybe next time they go to an audition with somebody else, they should probably keep that advice in mind as well.
Oh God, yeah. No, that's something I've tried to take from every job, every set I've ever been on is what tools, what weapons can I take from this to the next one? Because it's all about the job that leads to the job, that leads to the job, that leads to the job, so on and so forth. So if I can take experiences and weapons and tools and whatnot and transfer them to another environment or experience, that is only ever a good thing. So from you, yes, that's what I've taken more than anything else is my own ear for my own delivery of dialogue, I guess. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. It sticks. It's foremost in my head. Absolutely.
So when, because I mean, there might be a few young actors listening to this now, but
should there be though?
Yeah, I think so.
On your website, they should be not around your website.
They should absolutely be downloading. Well, actually, speaking of Beer Nuts Productions, do you have a favorite for those people who might be new to BeerNutsProductions.com? Yes. If they want to see Cale Campers in action, what would be your best role on
my
the
best? Oh, look. Wow.
What was your favourite one to do?
My favourite one to do... Look, there's been a handful of them for different reasons. And you and I were talking about this not long ago. The environment, the real truth, the ranger that I played, he was a fun dope to play. And probably the closest to who I am in real life.
Maybe. Yeah.
Just that sort of blank 1,000-yard stare while I'm trying to process what's happening in front of me and then trying to give the response that is supposed to be well-meaning but doesn't...
Land.
Quite land from an outsider. But then there's been some other things that I've done for you that have been good because of the people around them. Like the one, shout out to Beck Alexander for the prostitution, the one working with her. She's probably my favorite person that I've worked with on your productions.
Yeah, she's a superstar.
Because she's a real actor, as you like to remind me at every turn.
She is a real actor.
Yeah, but that was, so that's another favourite of mine for that. But then on top of that, I'll always have a soft spot for the very first one that we did together, the Jimmy Poodle interview.
Yes.
Because that was one of my very first jobs ever. And holy cow, was it an eye-opener. Your dedication to preparation and discipline. And like, it was a 25, 26-page script, something like that.
Yeah, it was a big one.
And it was a two-hander.
Yeah.
And there was dialogue like on every single page, and some of it was mighty mouthfuls, like page long, just
monologues.
Word vomit, so to speak.
I would have said salad. Word salad.
Word salad. And to somebody who was still starting out, like that was my first year of being in this dopey industry, and to be given this script and be like, "Hey, I expect you to have this down." Like, that was a learning experience, but it was a good learning experience, and that was tremendous. So those are probably the three roles that I've had the softest spots for, my favourites, for sure.
Do you still get nervous at all, like going into an audition or going on to set? Because, I mean, you're an old hand at it now, Kale. You've been doing this quite a long time.
I still consider myself new to this industry. Like, around the area of 5 years in, to me, that's new. I come across people that have been doing this for 10, 15, 20 years.
But do you still get any kind of nerves? Have you ever been nervous?
Oh, yeah. Of course, in the beginning I did. But whenever you're putting yourself out there for essentially judgment, yeah, you're going to get nervous. Like, how am I being perceived? Am I doing it right? Please like me. No. Yeah, of course. Absolutely. But then, after a little while, I sort of started to reframe it in my mind of, yeah, I might be nervous, but the part that I'm playing, he's not nervous. So just play it not nervous. Like, I was able to reframe it in my brain that way. Be like, this guy's not nervous. I can't play him nervous. So I'm not nervous. And over time, that just became...
That's actually really good advice.
I just sort of rewired it in my brain of being like, I can't play a nervous guy if he's not nervous. So I have to force myself to not be nervous. And I stopped being nervous.
So you just get into the character?
Pretty much. Or more, I distract myself with the character.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So not so much that I dove into the character. Not when we're talking about auditions anyway, because I haven't really had the time or, you know, to really dig into and embrace the character. But in the outset, and the early outset, if nothing else, this character's not nervous in what he's doing. I can tell that. Well, then I can't be nervous. Yeah, I can't physically be nervous because I don't want to get the part.
Yeah.
So I have to rewire the brain, force yourself to not be nervous. It might be easier said than done, but that's just how I did it.
Yeah.
The character's not nervous, so I can't be. End.
No, no, that's very true. Yeah, right. I like it a lot, actually. Yeah. It's very clever. Now is there any performers or actors or whatever that you've sort of looked up to over the years as you've been on this journey of yours? Has there been anybody that you've sort of admired and how they've gone about it or anything of that nature?
Look, when I was growing up, when I was a kid, like a lot of people around the sort of the early, mid-90s, I was all about The X-Files.
Okay.
So, and like David Duchovny was the coolest guy on the planet. So still now, like, I followed his career all the way along, and anything he's in, I'll be like, I have to check that out just because I just want to see what it is. And some of this stuff is tremendous. To pivot from award-winning Fox Mulder to award-winning Hank Moody on Californication to now he's making music. And it's just, that's somebody that I was like, if I can be a tenth of that guy's coolness and ability ability to change and shapeshift and be impactful, then I'll take it.
Well, you keep working on that, Kale.
Oh, look, it'll be a while. But that was my guy from when I was, teens, 20s, and then later on in life with the
He's your poster
stuff.
On the wall.
I literally did when I was younger. I had this dude up on my wall. It's like, are there any other posters you want to put up? Like, no.
Just
this Mulder, that's cool.
He's I'm fine.
Down. Yeah. Scully as well. No, just Mulder. That's like, really? Okay, don't judge.
Hey, listen, man, it's your wall. You can put whatever you want up there.
Yeah, that was my guy.
Okay, cool.
And still is.
Yeah, still digging, eh?
Yeah.
Because, you're quite right. He's Californication was a massive hit. And then, obviously, the music he's done and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Although, I must say, you know, whenever people ask you that question of like, hey, if they're going to make a film about your life, who do you want to portray you?
Would you like to play David Duchovny in a biopic?
I'm trying to flip the script. If they were making a movie about me.
Oh, about you.
Would they? I'd be like, no. Like, realistically, no. You wouldn't have somebody like that playing me because he's too pretty.
You'd have, like, Oscar the Grouch?
He's too some days. No, I would say I would love And I'll be an apologist for this dude for a very long time to come. Ben Affleck.
I like Ben Affleck.
What's wrong with
Ben
Affleck? People are just like this meathead, you know, where's his...
Well, he's a very talented man. He's directed some wonderful films.
But like, that's another dude where like, even in his private life and whatnot, the stuff he's been able to deal with and handle, he's a cool dude. And I can get behind that as well.
Well, that's one thing that I'm very firm on, is that people's private life is different from their professional life. Yes. So just because someone might be a dick in real life, but they do really great films... Mm. You know, you can enjoy their films and their acting. It's just you wouldn't choose to have a beer with that person.
No, that's very fair.
You know, so I mean,
I'm not bringing up his private life. I just mean in the sense, I think even if you didn't know anything about that dude's private life, you would have to see some of his performances and be like, that's been informed from something. That he's taken that from somewhere else.
Well, he's a wonderful director as well.
Well, he won an Academy Award for directing.
For Argo, I believe, yes.
And he won an Academy Award for screenwriting as well.
Yeah, with Good Will Hunting?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I just think that around the whole Jenny from the Block period of time where he became sort of a punchline, sort of. I was always an apologist for that dude. I thought he was fantastic and still to this day.
Fair enough.
I think he was a cool dude.
Well, and you're free to have that opinion.
Oh, thanks, appreciate that.
And, you know, so if people want to learn...
What about you? Who would play you in a movie?
That's a very good question. Who would play me?
Who would play you?
Well, I'll tell you who it wouldn't be. Carrot Top.
if he's got a big, bright red wig on you and squinted.
Nobody knows who Carrot Top is.
No, really? Oh, it's a different generation.
Yeah.
Different generation.
I'd have to come up with somebody else, wouldn't I? Who would play me?
There are no more prop comics anymore.
Well, that's because it's not the best form of comedy.
No.
Well,
because you don't have to think about it. Well, what a comedy these days they want. You want to be stimulated mentally, I guess.
Who would play?
I don't know.
Maybe we should get the listeners to write in. If you know the answer to who should play Goff in a film,
nothing's coming to mind to you direct, like straight, just off the top of your head.
Well, I said Carrot Top.
Telly Savalas?
Telly Savalas.
Or is that another generational touchstone that people won't understand?
Yeah, man, you got to get more with it.
I'm just going, who's bald? That's just, who's bald? They can play Goff.
J.K. Simmons.
J.K.
Because he's aggressive like me.
Yeah, I was going to say the mentality. I could see that. Right, we'll go with that, and that can be the placeholder. J.K. Simmons.
He's a bit old. I'm only 39, for Christ's sake. I mean, give me a break.
All right. But Carrot Top is apparently all right. Okay. All right. That dude's got wrinkles on wrinkles now.
Who, Carrot Top?
Yes.
I haven't seen
him. Have you seen him recently?
Well, the last time I saw him, we've gone way off tangent and way over time, but the last time I saw him was The Aristocrats, which is one of my all-time favorite films.
Of course it is.
I've seen that film about 200 times, and I still laugh. Nobody else has seen it.
I've seen The Aristocrats. Yeah.
It's the
What do you call it? The Aristocrats.
Yeah, 99 comedians all saying The Aristocrats joke.
The exact same. Yeah, a bunch of people telling the same joke.
It's brilliance. It's pure genius. I loved that film so much. And he was in that, and that's probably actually, that was, what, 2002?
That's going back a ways, that movie.
And that was the last time I actually saw him do anything, was that, because he was massive in the 90s. He was working Vegas.
Yeah.
But, that was the last time I saw Carrot Top, so I don't know why. Well, it was, yeah, but anyway. But yeah,
I haven't even thought of that movie in years.
It's a brilliant film.
I'm going to have to check that out when I get home.
I own the DVD.
Oh, wow.
So.
Oh, what's a DVD?
Yeah. Most of the people in that, there's a few that have died now. I mean, Carlin's gone. There's quite a few that are in that. Robin Williams has passed on. There's quite a few in that film that are no longer with us. Anyway, like I say,
we definitely need to check that out again.
We've gone way off topic and tangent. But if people want to learn more about Kale Campers, where can they go?
Oh, God help you.
Besides, of course, beernutsproductions.com.
Well, then, wow. I'm not sure anybody other than my mother would want to know. And even then, she'd be like, look, I raised you. That's enough. To know more about me, wow. Like most folks, IMDb is probably the best place to start. Any casting people? Casting people will be listening to this. Do you have that kind of panache?
Perhaps.
Like a pull? Let's see what this guy's up to.
Maybe.
Oh, that guy sounds good. Yeah, I have IMDb. Social media, I'm on there.
How about we just type in Kale Campers into Google and see what happens?
It's not a name that will pop up many times. There's only one of me out there.
Fair enough.
God willing.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I beat you to it. Yeah. I beat you to it on that one. I was like, I was going to let you have it, but you didn't take it.
Well, in any case, we do have to wrap this up because we are way over time. But thank you so much, Kale, for coming on the Beer Nuts Productions podcast.
I would say any time.
I'd like to say it's been a pleasure, but it's wrong to lie. So
that's the line I say at the end of each of your productions. Thanks for your effort. Yeah, no problem, Goff. It's been a pleasure.
Right, well, can you shut up. I need to wrap this up. Thank you so much for listening to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff, of course.
The train's off the tracks now.
It so is, but it's you'll never work for me again. again. Now,
you say that every time.
So it's like and subscribe to this monstrosity of a podcast, and make sure you leave a friendly comment, because that's nice, on whatever podcast app you are listening to. And remember, beernutsproductions.com for all your entertainment needs. It's the one-stop shop. And of course, you can see a lot of Kale on the Beer Nuts Productions website as well. He's done quite a few bits and pieces over the years. So that's about all for this episode. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next time.